The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you this morning, and we've got Harrison Frazier, PGA Tour veteran, joining us in just a little bit as we're going to talk more about what's going on in the world of golf and certainly the effect that COVID-19 and all that has had on the professional golf tours as well as just in general the golf world and in general our worlds as we see them. So we'll talk about that in just a little bit with Harrison and keep people updated on where things are at in the world of golf and all other things combined. Just sports activities in general come to a screeching halt. So it's a very different world, as we've talked about in the past couple of weeks, that we've all woken up to. And every day we've got new news coming out, sometimes good news, but oftentimes just kind of the same news about stay at home and don't get out and don't do much of anything. So it is very, very interesting and unique times that we find ourselves in. Frank Bassett, as always, join us from the Nashville studios. How are things in Nashville today?
Good morning, Timothy. How are you, buddy?
I'm good.
Things are great. Things are good. God's good all the time, pal. So we'll get through this, and we're going to come out the other end stronger because of the because of this and smarter. And just pray a lot. And I want to make one statement at the top of the show. Because all the people are talking about the $1,200 check or the $2,400 check plus $500 per child up to two. It's not enough money for these people. Well, let me say this. Tim, me, Harrison, everybody that doesn't need that check, that check will make no difference, really, then let's take that money and let's go to the local food bank or let's go to the church or whatever and let's donate our checks. Let's take our money and donate it to a good cause to help people who need it worse than we do. And I just challenge everybody out there, all the radio personalities, all the PGA Tour pros, LPGA professionals, PGA professionals that are kind of, some of those guys are hurting right now a little bit. But honestly, I think we should all take that money and put it to a better cause than putting it in our bank account or going and buying a MacBook or whatever you may do with it that you, you know.
Yeah, there are a lot of people that are out of work, right?
I mean, yes.
They can't work because their companies have been shut down. So it is a very drastic time for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So, all right, good challenge there, Frank. Good one. All right, that's a good way to start the show.
I mean,
hey, by the way, are you watching Golf Channel? Are you watching any of the WGC match play from last year? Because I find myself watching it and kind of pretending like it's going on, like it's still going on, you know?
I'm not right now, but I will when we finish the show. And I have to go get some propane. We're going to grill out. It's 80 degrees in Nashville, so, and I have to clean out some flower beds and a lot of work around this place. I need to get back on the road out on tour.
I didn't ask for your day's schedule. I just asked if you're watching some golf. And I think I might have a martini around 4 o'clock. Here's my whole day.
You did the other day.
It was before 4.
I know what you did.
Don't wait till 4.
I know what you did last
year. We have Harrison Frazier joining us, a PGA Tour veteran. He, of course, won the St. Jude Classic, near and dear to your heart.
Yes.
Frank, back in 2011. And he joins us from his home in Dallas as well. Harrison, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm good. I appreciate you guys having me on. So,
I'm curious.
Just hunkered down. Everybody's watching this whole thing just kind of fall apart. You know, in a little bit of state of shock, really, but we're all getting used to it. You know, kids are doing school at home, and like you guys, I'm planting flower beds and, you know, cleaning off patios.
Yeah.
The leaves keep falling. Busy.
Harrison, are you doing? What are you doing with your golf swing? What are you just in the backyard taking practice swings a lot or 100 swings a day?
Well, you know, up until just a couple of days ago, I actually still had access to one of the last remaining courses in Dallas that we could, you know, walk out and just play and, you know, never touch anybody, never see anybody, never go in a building, just carry your own bags. So up until, you know, a few days ago, I was able to play a little bit. But, you know, and I guess they were doing it in North Dallas too, up in like McKinney and Plano. Some of those were still open, hanging on for a while. So really, I haven't had the full-blown shock of no golf yet. It's only been a couple of days. So, you know, I think we're going to get really, really bored. Everybody's going to get stir crazy. Guys have probably got simulators in their backyard. They got nets. You know, go buy a bow net and a and a patch of turf on Amazon, and
yeah,
you know, just start hitting balls in the backyard.
I've dug up my backyard with my wedge. So
there you go.
Hey, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
On the coronavirus and the shock of all this, Nashville, Tennessee, is, as you know, the home of country music and a lot of pickup trucks and a whole lot of guns. And Academy Sports, Bass Pro Shops, a lot of the local gun shops are out of ammunition here. They have sold out of ammunition in a panic to buy ammo. I'm sure Dallas, Tim, you and Harrison, probably the same way there.
Yeah, they have. I was at Academy a couple of days ago, and everything is picked out. Everything's gone. You know, but some of this panic is
scary.
It is scary, but it's also completely irrational. We were at the store the other day, and I guess somebody had gone in to get toilet paper or milk or water, you know, of which there was none. So just in a panic, this person had like 48 bottles of Sprite in their shopping cart.
Good Lord.
Yeah, it borders on the ridiculous, and people have lost control. They're trying. They're looking for something to control. You know, and so people are just not making the smartest decisions. But you know, the gun thing, there is a real theory out there that, you know, go buy gold, bury it in your backyard. You know, get guns and ammo, and hide yourself in a center closet. But you know, I'm not gonna live like that.
No. We're not built to live like that. So, yeah, it is crazy. Scary. Here's what scares me, guys. The fact that people are out there buying these weapons. And in Tennessee, they changed the law this past year. January 1, 2020, the law went into effect that you don't have to have any range time to get a carry permit in Tennessee. No range time.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have people at Academy and Bass and wherever else buying weapons that have never fired a weapon. That's what scares me. They don't know how to handle a firearm.
They just figure they need to have one,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, that's what frightens me. I won't go off on my, you know how I get, Tim.
That's all right. You know how I can get. Hey, we're joined by Harrison Frazier, PJ.
They are strange
tour veteran, and yeah, it is very odd. Speaking of golf, Harrison, and the tour in general, we all know that it's on hold for the foreseeable future. I'm curious what you think is going to shake out of this, and mostly, I guess, what we can, at least with a crystal ball, foresee is, while a lot of tournaments have been canceled, RBC and Zurich and certainly Wells Fargo, and here locally, AT&T, Byron Nelson,
Valspar,
canceled. I guess they've gone all the way up to the Charles Schwab Challenge, the Colonial, and haven't made a decision on that, but I can't imagine that they're going to play that as well. But the Masters, they've postponed, and the PGA Championship postponed. How do you think those are going to shake out? What do you foresee is going to happen, that they're going to try to squeeze those in during the canceled Olympic times, or what do you think will happen with the two majors so far?
You know, I don't really know. There's no way to have a crystal ball and even start to begin to look into this as to what's going to happen. You know, we're on the verge of something here happening economic that's going to make 2008, you know, look like baby poop, right? If the big banks start failing, you know, the tour's got bigger problems than just trying to get the Charles Schwab tournament in at Colonial. We're talking about, you know, having to have all new sponsors, you know, having to go with all the financial institutions, the insurance agencies and stuff like that are associated with it. They're going to have to go and, you know, tear up some contracts and start over. Now, if the country's economy doesn't fall apart, you know, I could see a scenario where possibly Charles Schwab, you know, Memorial, you know, maybe even the U.S. Open can go forth, maybe without fans, but a lot of things have to happen in order for that to happen. You know, the Olympics being pushed back obviously gives us an open week in there to possibly look at the PGA Championship. You know, you also got to look and start sacrificing. Do you say you got to pick one or the other? Maybe the PGA of America doesn't get a championship and a Ryder Cup this year, and maybe you've already got Whistling Straits, you know, under contract. You've already got structures being built there. Maybe you say, okay, no Ryder Cup. Let's just put the PGA Championship there. I don't know. You know, maybe Augusta. I hear a lot of talk about Augusta in October. You know, but how can that golf course that, you know, it's 80% or 90% win awry. And I'm not sure how, what kind of condition it's going to be in October, maybe November. But October, I would sure think can be tough. So, you know, I think that all these tournaments have got to just, and the whole thing just needs to get back to business and then look up and figure out what we can do. It'll just be a system of choices and priorities, and just everybody's going to have a little bit of grace and, you know, do the best we can.
Yeah. So. That, you know, the Tim and I were discussing, Harrison, the Momentous Foundation.
Yeah.
And they're that tournament there in Dallas, it funds it totally for the year. And so the charities are really going to take it in the shorts in all this.
They are. Yeah, they are. Now, there's a big difference between a bunch of, you know, charities. Don't get me wrong. Charity dollars are always great. But the Momentous Institute specifically, you know, they need to raise $4 million to keep that school open for those kids.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're just happy if they get 50,000 or a million. You know, they need a specific amount of money. So, you know, without the tournament happening, yes, you get, you know, some, you know, you're going to save all the infrastructure costs and all that stuff that goes on with it. But, you know, you got to think that there's going to be, out of the 650 Sales Bishop Club members, you know, they'll be able to raise the money to keep that school, you know, keep that school afloat. And they've got to have a battle chest. I know you don't want to access it for too long, but, you know, you have it for a rainy day. And yeah, guess what? Here's your rainy day.
The battle. So, you speak of a battle chest. It reminds me of something I read this morning early. I can't sleep with all this going on, so I'm up super early. And I was reading about what in this bill was a little disturbing to me, if in fact it truly is in the bill. And it's the fact that they will waive the penalties and interest and payback requirements for Americans who want to go into their 401k and take out up to $100,000. That's scary. Yeah,
I didn't see that.
Yeah, that's kind of frightening. That talking about going into the battle chest or the war chest.
That's some people won't have a choice, right?
Well, I mean, you're talking about $20 trillion, basically, in that pot, in that bucket. So, well,
yeah.
Yeah.
But not everybody's going to access that. But what's your, yeah, I mean, that's maybe another subject. But
yeah, another subject.
Yeah, it's calling for desperate measures, obviously. We're joined again by Harrison Frazier, PGA Tour veteran, and going back to Momentous and the Byron Nelson, which is what we're talking about. They're the beneficiary of the Byron Nelson, and given more money to Byron Nelson than any other PGA Tour event in the last 50 years. So the Byron Nelson is very intricately connected with charity here in Dallas and given a lot of money to it. And Harrison, you've played a big role in that for years and years, and certainly since it moved to Trinity Forest. I'm curious your thoughts now. We haven't talked to you since all this has changed. It will never go back to Trinity Forest. This was going to be the last year, and then they were going to find a new home for it, but because of various reasons, it wasn't working at Trinity Forest. How do you feel about that? You and I have been there. We've played Trinity Forest together, and you're certainly one of the guys working with Crenshaw and Core when it was being designed, so you're very intimate with Trinity Forest. How did you feel about them kind of changing paths and going in another direction?
Well, I think, to be 100% honest, you know, after a lot of these things, you don't know until you get into them, you know, to find out how things are going to work. And, you know, I think that a lot of people, it became very, very clear, very obvious pretty quickly that this was going to be a tough thing to make work. And it's not all about the golf course, you know, it's you know, the infrastructure around it, the access, the parking. I mean, there's just so many things that made this difficult. The reality is that the golf course I really like playing it, and I enjoy being out there. I enjoy the members. I enjoy the charitable aspect of the Mondays and all the events that are there. You know, the Wounded Warriors. I love all that part. It just was not going to work having 50,000 people there. So as soon as you accept that. And you also accept the fact that what Dallas wants is Dallas wants a party, and they don't want it to be about the golf. They don't want to walk and watch golf as much as some people do. The majority, the very, very large majority, and that came out loud and clear They want to party. So, I was upset, but I wasn't surprised. You know, I was embarrassed, but nothing to hang my head about, right? I mean, everything was done the right way. We tried. It was a noble effort. It just didn't work. So, you know, I feel bad for the city of Dallas. I feel bad for, you know, everybody else. We're all disappointed. Jonas and I, you know, spent a lot of time and a lot of heartache on it. And it just didn't work.
Well,
go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Harrison. I apologize.
No, I was going to say that all we can hope for now is that they embrace who they are and they go back to giving the people what they need and get people back out there and start and put on a great show. You know, that's what they do. And let's start raising a bunch of money. But you know, the event has to have an identity, right? And it really doesn't matter what it is, but whatever your identity is, you embrace it and you move on and you go big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It always has been a big party in Dallas and that's what they need to return to. Go ahead, Frank.
But the whole thing was based on the model that was so successful in Atlanta at East Lake. Am I correct in believing that, Tim Harrison?
About the tournament.
No, as far as Trinity Forest,
the building up
restructuring an area. Yeah.
Right, Harrison, you can speak to that. Yeah, but it's different. You know, the area around East Lake, while it was certainly downtrodden, you know, economically and had been forgotten, there's solid dry land. There's usable space around it. There's different access points. And you know, while the structure appeared to be similar and while the idea was the same, you know, I just think all of us underestimated the difficulty due to that site. You know, one way in, one way out, and it just really made things hard. So, you know, look, there's great venues that are not good golf courses, and there's great golf courses that make, you know, bad venues, and in a perfect world, you've got a great golf course and a great venue with great amenities around it. And those are ultimately the ones that are successful for the longest period of time.
Yeah.
You know, this just didn't have enough of everything, you know, to see it worth fighting through.
Do you think it'll go back to where it originally was, the Four Seasons?
I mean, I do. I think that if they want the easiest answer, right, the plug and play, they know how it works. They know what it does. They know what the players are going to say. They know what the fans are going to say. There's no surprises. Certainly a return would be celebrated in the short term, right? But it would be the immediate win if you know, the problem is 4, 5, 6 years down the road, people forget, you know, and next thing you know, you're going to have the same issues that you had before, right? Where the same guys that were saying they didn't want to come to the Byron Nelson because they didn't like the golf course at the Four Seasons, you know, were the ones that are saying they didn't want to come to Trinity Forest because they really just wanted to play Four Seasons.
Can't win.
Yeah, so you can't go chasing those guys. That's what I mean by they've got to just forget about trying to be a great golf course and a great tournament and a party and, you know, the resort living and the nightlife. You know, pick what you're going to be and just move on and go and embrace it. Eventually the players will come back. You know, eventually the players will settle in with whatever it is. But I guess it could go to Craig Ranch. It could go to the PGA facility in Frisco. Yeah. I've heard crazy rumors around town about, you know, possible sites, but it makes the most sense to go back to Las Colinas.
So we'll see how that plays out. Of course, it didn't help that they had a torrential downpour last year and the first year at Trinity Forest. They had a dust bowl because it was a drought. So the weather didn't help either.
It's been the craziest weather. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, for 2 years, it was just terrible extremes on the weather part, too. Again, we're talking with Harrison Frazier, and I got two questions for you, Harrison, that kind of combine. Yeah. Talking about changing the schedule and whatnot. The U.S. Open coming up, scheduled for middle of June. It's at Wingfoot, and they're talking about, okay, they may have to push that back as everything else gets condensed, and they certainly want to have a U.S. Open. They don't want to just cancel it, so you want to try to push it back. But Wingfoot, kind of like what you're saying about
being able to play the Masters and whatever in different times. Wingfoot, if they and they have talked about maybe playing in the fall, Wingfoot isn't necessarily weather-wise the place you want to be playing if it gets into October, November. So would they move that to a different location? Is that a possibility to have it in a different location if you have to play it late in the year? And what are players that are the big-name guys, or but anybody who's on the tour who's looking to play, hasn't been able to, not sure when they're going to, are they going to be ready when they say, okay, now guys go, they can still be working on their game? Do you think they need almost like a spring training period to get ready, or are golfers different? Are they going to be able to say, okay, now we're going to play in 2 weeks and everybody's going to get there in 2 weeks and be able to shoot the numbers we're used to seeing them shoot?
Yeah, I think guys figure it out. You know, we're used to watching just such a small subset of players who are playing really, really well. They'll figure it out pretty quickly. Like I said, guys have got simulators in their houses. They got nets. You know, they're doing something. They are athletes, as much as I don't want to say that. I was never considered myself an athlete, but you know, they are. They're staying in shape. They're staying limber. You know, they'll. You know, if you give them a week, I think they can amp it up. As long as they don't hurt themselves, they can amp it up and get ready. You know, as far as golf tournaments, you know, specific events, Wingfoot, it's probably not going to happen in June, right? I mean, it really not. You're yeah. basically ground zero. I think you got to be realistic.
Yeah.
You know, however, could they move it to, you know, Oakmont has always been the, you know, the pivot place that the USGA has said they could host a US Open at a last minute's notice. You know, they could do it. You could do Wingfoot though in late September, early October. It would be gorgeous with the leaves, you know, turning colors and all that stuff. It would be amazing. I don't know if you could get to the southern climate courses that could have it because of the agronomy needs coming out of the summer. They would have to know ahead of time. So I think we just really need to get to a week or two after Easter and, you know, kind of see what's happening and let everybody figure it out from there. And just, you know, the biggest thing I think that we're going to find is the tour is going to need, they're going to be under a crunch to get the FedEx Cup done. And they need to have that culminating point. So there's going to be a lot of pressure to fit some round pegs in a square hole. And sometimes, you know, that might mean the majors won't happen in this tournament scheduled year. You know, it might be after the FedEx Cup and you might have a year with the double majors, you know, which would be weird, but, and at that point, do you just say, okay, never mind. You know, these are crazy times. Let's just wipe it. Yeah. So we'll have to see what they say.
It was certainly real. I know you have to go, but just as a point, I was in Ponte Vedra and ready. You know, we were there doing shows at Marriott Sawgrass and then up at Amelia Island. And for Hideki Matsuyama, that was kind of
frustrating.
A kick in the fanny, because he received the same check as the bottom, the fellow who I won't mention the name, 7 over par, and he shot 9 under. So it was kind of tongue-in-cheek, kind of funny in a way, but the tour made an exception there because actually there were two players who did not complete their round, and by rules, I believe, on PGA Tour, the first round has to be completed for money to be handed out. But Jim Monahan made the good call and said, no, it's by no fault.
Everybody gets
a check.
Right.
So.
Well,
you're right. Matsuyama could have had a great day, weekend. Yeah.
Course record day. I mean, tied the course record first day.
Yeah. And then you're like, okay, put your clubs in the trunk.
You know, on the other side of that, you know, first round greatness doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win anything.
No.
You know, but bigger picture, once again, realizing there's more important things. I get it why they split the purse, but I think the numbers are so huge. They should have split the purse. You know, 50% of the pros, but on the condition that 50% of what you get needs to go to a local food bank or go to a charity.
I agree, 100%. Well said, Harrison. 100%.
You know, it. I didn't like the optics of somebody getting that big of a check, you know, for one day. So, hopefully these guys are smart. You know, they're good guys. They're good people. They've got good people around them. I'm sure somebody, you know, nudged him towards the right decision.
Drew Brees, by the way, as a sidebar, just donated, I believe it was he and his wife donated $5 million to the food bank.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I saw that.
First class guy.
Yeah. And Harry, and New Orleans has been hit pretty hard.
Yeah. Sean Payton has it also. Sean Payton's diagnosed with it. So.
Well, they just said yesterday he's been released, so he's doing better.
Okay,
and they said that he's cured is the word for it, but yeah, he's out of the hospital and he's back at work if he wants to be. So yeah, he's doing much better. But yeah, New Orleans is a hard hit area, like Harrison was talking about, New York as well. So it's been very frustrating. Hey, Harrison, before we let you go, we know you've had some injuries and stuff, and Troy Van Beesen is one of our constant contributors on the show here, and he's been even shut down, as far as I know, as far as treating people and doing all that. But anyway, you and a lot of other PGA Tour guys go to Van Beesen to get your treatment. How's your health doing? How's your game and everything around your health?
My health is getting better. I just I'm taking care of my back. I'm just trying to be smart about what I do. I've had to learn how to swing a little differently. I've actually started working a new job. To help fill the time and with Benchmark Bank and Title, where helping build relationships that allows me to play some golf at the same time. But the reality of being a full-time 48-year-old professional golfer competing against 25 and 28-year-olds, that's gone. So what I've got my focus on, my sights are set right now on being able to play 21, 22 senior tour events here in a couple of years. And, I feel like I can do that. I feel like my game is good enough. I still putt well. I don't hit it quite as far as I used to, but I don't swing as hard. So the ball goes straighter. So, there's trade-offs.
I can see the Stankowski-Frazier match play.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious about it. It's a little Van Beesen connection there too.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
Can you take Stanky? Right. You're not worried about Stank. You're not worried about him, are you?
Am I worried about him?
I'm always worried about Stanko.
He can flat out play.
He's sneaky.
And I'm really glad to see him doing well again.
Yeah, good guy.
Yeah,
both of you guys are great.
So both of you, you're both about the same age, though, aren't you? You're both going to. I guess he's maybe a bit older. Is he a year older?
Yeah, he's a little bit more than a year. I think he just turned 50, didn't he? Or is he just about to?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, he did.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Yeah, I'm 48 and a half. Actually, I'm 48 and 8 months and 13 days.
You're counting down.
Countdown.
Yeah. Not that it means anything, but yeah, we're counting it down.
Yeah, we've got one of those digital clocks in our house, and the kids all kiss every day.
When does Dad hit 50?
That's right. They want him back out of the house pretty quick.
Yeah, get out of here. We don't want you anywhere. And your son will come home from Auburn once Dad goes back out on the tour.
Yeah, he'll come home. He might have to go caddy for me, so we'll see.
Yeah, it'd be perfect.
Tim's available.
Harrison, we appreciate your time. Thanks so much for all your time and your insight into what's going on and continued success. And can't wait for that countdown to get to 50. And we'll talk to you again soon here and kind of get another update maybe in a few weeks, okay?
All right, guys. That sounds great. Appreciate it. Y'all stay safe.
You too, Harrison. Take care.
All right. You too. Harrison Frazier, PGA Tour veteran and soon to be PGA Tour champions member here. So, yeah.
PGA Tour champion, too.
They fall into that category, Frank. They looked at 50 because I've said, I keep saying it, 45 is a better age because there's a huge gap for a lot of these guys that they're almost going to be off for 10 years of really competitive golf playing, whether it's injury-wise or just their game isn't the same. And again, a 45, 46-year-old that should be playing with the seniors can't compete with Rory and Jason Day and Dustin and all the other guys, but they can compete with the guys their own age. So let the 45-year-olds get into the game instead of having
a
good 8-9 years off.
The boys out there right now don't want that.
Can't keep everybody happy, but
they could clock it down 48, 46.
Yeah,
a couple of years and just wean them in or something. So
yeah, I just think it's like I said before, it's unfortunate because guys like Harrison start working at a bank, start doing other businesses that they're into. Paul was Stankowski was making belts and leather goods and stuff.
Because, he was making some damn nice belts too.
Yeah, he was.
Does he have any left in his inventory?
I have no idea. I think he's got some gators in his garage that he can.
He's feeding them.
That he's feeding them right now, just so they're eventual belts.
God.
That are just in a backyard tied up by the pool.
Crazy.
So, yeah.
Hey, you want to take a just, break anyway. And then try to get another person on here that I can make a quick phone call?
I hope you're not meaning Brendan Sweeney.
I am.
Please don't tell me. We got to get Brendan. No.
Well, they shut down the French Lick Resort totally, so he's at home and his family's ready to tie him up in the backyard.
So is he working for a bank now, too? Are you gonna
No, he
the Sweeney Bank?
No, Brendan's very devoted to French Lick, which we are too. We love French Lick Resort. So, but the courses are open.
Let's take a break.
Are open, so we'll let him tell us about.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, let's take a break, and then Brendan Sweeney from French Lick Resort will join us to give us his wild, zany take on the world as it is. So stick around. You're listening to Golf Talk America, and we're going to come back right after this. Stay with us. And welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews along with Frank Bassett joining you today as we're talking a little bit about golf and how it's evolving and how it's changing. We were just talking with Harrison Frazier about that on the tour and guys on the tour, in his case, getting ready for the PGA Tour Champions. But other guys on the tour, how they're going to be ready and what may happen. We all have a lot of question marks until we know exactly where these tournaments are going to be played, when they're going to get back out and play. But the majors are a big factor and a big part of all that. So very curious about how that's going to play out and where it's going to be. But there are a lot of other golf courses, golf facilities that are being affected, certainly all over this country, by what's happening with coronavirus. And one of those is one of our favorite places on the planet. That is the resort at French Lick in French Lick, Indiana. And the man of the hour, Brendan Sweeney, which French Lick Resort, joins us now. Give us a little update on what's happening there and some insight into other resorts like French Lick and what they might be doing. Brendan, how are you doing today?
You know, all things considered, not bad. Family safe so far. Got rearranging with children in college, and we're just trying to make adjustments. And virtual school starts on Monday for my eighth graders. So I'm going to become a stay-at-home teacher.
Teacher?
Oh, no.
Wow.
Oh, no. Poor Moo.
Don't you need some kind of credential? Some kind of credential for that job?
Poor Moo.
Yeah, could teach her how to hotwire a golf cart.
Seriously.
How to get more balls out of the range bucket.
Hey, Brendan, something that we said earlier that I threw out, and when you re-listen to the show, you'll hear it. But for the people who are going to get those checks, the $1,200 checks or the $2,400 or whatever, that really don't need it because it's going to go out to everybody basically who made, $150,000 or less. If they really don't need it that bad, take a portion of it and donate it to a local food bank. I know you did something that you let slip to me the other day. You went out to support your local restaurant, did takeout, and dropped a huge tip on the guy just to help him out. That's the Brendan Sweeney we know and love, not the guy that everybody has a great time with, but the true Brendan Sweeney does that kind of stuff. So,
well, we're a family business with the Cook Group. And we're trying our best. You know, I told you a story before. You know, French Lick is a town of 2,500 people, and we employ 1,700 people. So we are closed as far as the hotel and the casino is concerned for an indefinite amount of time. But our golf courses remain open, and what we're trying to do is get guys hours, and what we're trying to do is get our people, back to a way of life that they knew before, uninterrupted. Our number one priority is to protect our people, and the number two is to protect the asset, which is, 210-year-old buildings that need maintenance. So, normalcy is going on, day by day, and we're just trying to figure it out one day at a time, but with a positive attitude. If someone's feeling down on our team, I got a conference call here in a little bit, and everybody's sort of isolated. And just hearing someone else's voice that you haven't heard in a while and say, hey, how you doing? And that's the same thing with you guys with, Golf Talk America and bringing the voice out there. Trying to, keep a positive vibe going. I know in Dallas, I'm sure you guys are probably locked down. Our buddies in New Orleans, Chicago, geez, name it. But you look at the big towns, the big metropolises, then you look at a little microcosm of French Lick. Orange County, Indiana, and there's people being affected by this virus there, and they have different resources that they're dealing with compared to watching Governor Cuomo you know, saying that, you know, New York is obviously the hot spot, but if this thing's spreading around, what we're trying to do is maintain and stay the path of positivity.
Well, you're in Florida, of course, now that you're home.
Yep.
There, Orlando, or over at the beach. But so what's the temperature like down there? How are people feeling? Is it still here in Nashville? I will tell you to preface it. There's a lot of fear in people's eyes when you see them standing 10 feet away from you in the line trying to get into Publix or Kroger to just pick up a few things that may or may not even be on the shelf. There's a lot of fear in people's eyes here.
With Orlando being such a tourism town, you know, we were up at Sawgrass, Frank.
Oh, yeah.
They stopped, you know, they stopped the tournament. They closed down Disney. They closed down Universal. The roads are empty. Going to the store, you know, just, you know, you keep your distance.
Yeah.
You know, the big thing with the other day was, you know, the governor, DeSantis, came on and said, you know, if people, you know, there were 190 flights that came out of the New York area last, like, 3 days ago.
Into Florida. Yeah.
So, yeah, you sort of look at people and say, you know, it's, you're not from my tribe. I'm gonna keep away from you. And even if they're in your tribe.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know if you go to the Publix and some guy sneezes on an orange, that what you're going to get. So, yeah, wash everything.
Yeah, I mean, I went and bought produce, and I caught myself doing the same thing that I always do. When you start
squeezing
up
everything?
Yeah, picking up the heads of romaine lettuce. No bananas. No bananas. The romaine lettuce. I was looking for the biggest head, and I grabbed about three or four different ones and then thought, what are you doing, Bassett, you idiot?
Yeah, don't
you
be
just,
doing that.
Just touch one and pull it out. So
you talk about the borders too. I mean, the governor of Texas here has now said that they're not allowing any flights coming in from the tri-state New York area into Texas for the foreseeable future. So you can't not only come in from another country, if you're coming from either New Orleans or from the New York area, those flights are now being diverted and you can't come into Texas. So
who would want to fly?
Well, hey, let me ask you this, Brendan, to back up for one second about French Lick. Now, you know, y'all have been a sponsor forever. We love you guys. You're great. We're like a family to y'all up there, too. I mean, I know everybody up there. So, Andy Fortner, all your guys, how are you managing just daily play golf? 15-minute, I guess, tee times apart from each other?
We're not that busy, to be honest with you. But, our guys, you know, obviously, if you want to walk, God bless you. If you want to take a cart, you know, everybody has individual golf carts. We've raised the cups up out of the ground.
Yeah.
So, obviously, if you know, to touch the flagstick. But I played the other day down here in Florida, and this was pretty creative, one of the guys did. I played at New Smyrna Beach Country Club. They took, you know, those noodles
for the pool.
Those for the pool.
Foam pool.
They did that, and they put it around the flagstick, had it up about 3 inches. And I swear to God, I came up to these guys after the first hole, second hole, catch up to them. Third hole's a par three, and this guy hit this ball perfectly, and it bounced off the rubber, the noodle,
the foam noodle.
So he had like a
hole in one.
Yeah, I mean, his buddy's like, "Is it going?" I'm like, "Dude, he saw it."
That's a kick in the butt.
Wow!
And God bless him, he's a fireman down here too. So,
So that's going to be his story for the next 20 years. Is his hole in one? And he's going to have to explain. Well, I actually hit a noodle. I'm sorry. Did it go in the hole? Well, it didn't actually go in the hole. But
yeah, it's a hole in one with an asterisk. Yeah, hole in one with an asterisk.
Yeah.
It's sort of like the
Houston. Still got to buy drinks.
Oh God,
Astros.
Yeah.
We're joined by Brendan Sweeney with the French Lick Resort in French Lick, Indiana.
Harrison Sweeney.
Harrison Sweeney, his brother. So Brendan, nobody can stay at the resort, as I understand it, for you guys at French Lick. Do you guys, as a organization or as a resort organization, do you talk to other resorts all around the country just to kind of see what they're doing, just like schools do and other facilities that have kind of a national presence? Do you guys talk to see kind of what everybody else is doing or what's the trend around the country when you have to close down an entire resort with hundreds and hundreds of rooms?
Well, our directive comes, you know, directly from the state of Indiana, and we're following their guidelines. And, you know, once again, our number one priority is to protect our people. I have spoken to my peers, at different resorts, just guys who I know, hey, how you holding up? how's the mental game, you know? Are the walls closing in? Get out, you know, do some exercise or whatever it may be. But yeah, we're trying our best practices. And you know, the bottom line is, you know, you got to stay safe and keep active. And if your buddies are in a different course, and everybody, you know, is in this boat together. I mean, you're talking about mass layoffs of people.
3.3 million.
Yeah, and we're in a hospitality business, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
And you know, it takes a certain personality to be in this industry, and to keep a positive, you know, daily outlook, and optimism. So yeah, you just, you know, if you're in the business, if you're in the golf business, if you're in the hotel business, reach out to a buddy and just check in on them, an old mental state of mind, and maybe do a virtual happy hour. I heard today, I think it was Dale King said it. She goes, this is like Vegas. You know, we're losing money. You can drink at any time, and no one really cares. So we'll just continue on to the next day. So it's a good thing.
Yeah. It's certainly a scary time for a lot of people, especially in the hospitality, as you say. People who are waiters or bartenders or gig workers or people on 1099 type situations. Like our PGA Tour radio play-by-play team. I mean, and us. I mean, it's tough for everybody right now. And so say your prayers and thank God for what you have. And pray for others more so than you pray for yourself, and you'll get through it.
Yeah. Well, and people can do, like we were talking about, with restaurants and whatnot. I mean, you can still do, I think most of the country can still do takeout or home delivery or whatever, Uber Eats and those kind of things. So a nice little tip, if you can afford to, is something – that's worth it, because their businesses, even if they're out there doing a little bit, it's still not even half, probably a third of what they were doing before. So everybody's just trying to get by. So yeah, when I go pick up food, I try to help out a little bit, because there aren't a lot of people, even curbside, there aren't a lot of people even coming up. So a lot of these mom and pop restaurants are just hanging by week by week. So, and hoping that it kind of, you know, ends sooner rather than later. So. All right, Brendan, well, we appreciate your time, and good luck with that homeschooling thing. I fear for your children.
Fear for the future.
The future of kids in Orlando.
Your eighth grader can conjugate two swear words in the same sentence. You know, I taught him.
His youngest daughter is a pretty smart cookie, and one hell of a lacrosse player, too, by the way, Tim.
Oh, my God. Oh, so, yeah, there's an outdoor racquetball court around the corner from our place here. And Megan's been down there. She's been working out, been very diligent working out. But if you want to see somebody like whip a ball against a racquetball wall, lacrosse ball, and catch it, it's been pretty entertaining.
Are the side of your new car? I saw a couple of those.
Oh, my God.
It looked beat to hell.
Keller could read the side of my car.
Oh, Brendan, we love you, buddy. We appreciate everything you do with us and for us. And let's the day that French Lick opens and everything gets rolling, let's get up there and let's do a live show and entertain some people.
It's going to be like the end of Prohibition. We're going to go crazy, go nuts. We're going to have a blast. But, you know, support your local guys, man. That's all I got to say. If you got a buddy in a restaurant business, order some burritos or whatever it may be. And just stay positive out there. This will pass and we'll be good. And you know, just if you see an old person that needs something, and help them out. It's life.
Yes, it is. All right, there pal. You go. Take care of yourself.
Brendan. See
ya. See you, bye.
You too. Brendan Sweeney with French Lick Resort that is going through the hard times that everybody's going through. But, again, I try to be glass half full kind of guy. And you know, he's right. At some point, we get through it, and you just – I look back on a lot of things, Frank, trying to be philosophical here, but – there's a lot of times in our lives where we're worried, you know, we're burdened by something. It bothers us, whether it's a financial thing, whether it's relationships or your kids, whatever. We worry. And yet here we sit, and what we worried about 6 months ago or a year ago or 5 years ago, we got through it, right? We worried at the time, but we figured it out. We got where we are. We got to think the same way here. Yes, it's tough and it's bad, and we wish it was better, but time will pass, and we'll be looking back saying, well, that was bad, but we got through it. So try to be as positive as you can that things will be okay, and we're gonna be okay, because we always are eventually. I mean, as a general rule, and I think if we band together and do that, then at least we're going to have a better attitude. And I was, you know, we were talking earlier, Frank, about Neil Diamond kind of rewriting some words to Sweet Caroline, yeah. Just to be a little bit flippant about hands away from hands and whatever. But
don't
good
touch
for him.
Me.
You know, I mean, I'm sure that'll get passed on 20 million times, on Twitter, Instagram, or whatever. And just to cheer people up a little bit, it's just Neil Diamond saying, "Hey, I'm here to just entertain you a little bit while everybody's stuck in his house." He was sitting in front of his fireplace doing it. So, that kind of stuff, I think, is what gets us through.
I wish I was stuck in Neil Diamond's house.
I like to be his dog at the end of the song. You see, he pans to his dog.
Oh,
he's laying there, golden retriever.
Yeah.
Singing along with
him.
Well,
you hear my wonder dog barking in the other room because I'm here in the home studio. And Bogey is, a lot of people are out walking, which really doesn't occur a lot on our street because most everybody's gone to work. Well, Bogey's barking all day. He's hoarse. He's barking so much. So I just tune it out, put in my ear.
Your
earpods.
Dog's become a horse?
No, of course.
Oh, I got confused there. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know what's weird, too, is that there's different language for things. Stay at home versus... what's the other one?
Shelter in place.
You're like, which is, and there's little different definitions for both those. And while you have to stay at home, you can still, go outside and exercise.
Yeah.
Okay, how much can you exercise? And even I saw in Chicago, the mayor of Chicago saying, well, you can't run far. You can run a little bit, but I'm going, well, what's far? I mean, how far do you,
it's just common sense.
Going to stop you and say,
it's common sense.
I've been following you for 3 miles. That's too far. You can't run that much. You have
it's
to stop
common
and go
sense.
Home now.
That's all, man. It really is, I guess.
And,
you know, at least coming out of this, people will be more cognizant of hygiene. By golly.
I hope
wash
so.
Wash your hands. My
I
hands
so.
Look like, I mean they're chapped. I've washed them so much.
Hey, you know, here I got some friends that are dermatologists. I'll leave this little tidbit with everybody too, this little gem. But dermatologists tell me that yes, wash your hands and use the sanitary wipes if you can, whatever you have to have, right? And even the hand sanitizer. But a lot of times soaps and hand sanitizers, a lot of alcohol, dry your hands out, dry skin, right? Which
yes.
You don't really think about when you're washing 20 times a day. Well, microscopically, that can crack your skin.
Yes.
And that crack in your skin, microscopically, can let germs and bacteria into your skin that you don't want. And so you need to have kind of a moisture-based lotion that you put on, or lotion after you've washed your hands. So just something to be careful of, that people think, the more I wash, the better it is. It actually can be a detriment if you do it too much and
do it the wrong way,
your skin to crack like that. Yeah, so just be careful about that and keep some moisturizer or a moisture-based soap when you wash your hands.
Yeah.
And you'll avoid that,
Dr. Tim on hygiene.
There's always a yin and a yang, isn't there?
Dr. Tim and Dr. Oz. Yeah. There you go.
I keep getting texts from my son because he's wanting me to join in him and his friends on an 800 push-up day. That's his challenge.
What?
Everybody staying home. He wants him and his friends and apparently his decrepit old man to do 800 push-ups today before 3 o'clock.
Well, there goes my co-host.
Before 3 o'clock next Thursday? Is that what you're saying? Because I can maybe do that one.
Yeah, you're in good shape, though. You work out. You're in good shape.
We'll see. We'll see what I can do.
Well,
I'm going to give it a shot as soon as we get off the air here. Huh?
Put it out there on Facebook.
Facebook. How many I can get in.
Hey, Sweeney, by the way, before we go, Sweeney had called me last night and said, well, hey, let's go and do a Facebook Live happy hour for Golf Talk America. Kevin Sylvester's doing that. Kevin's one of the PGA Tour radio guys.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And he's doing that happy hour. So what we may come up with for our listeners is a happy hour. We can next week.
Do you know how to do that?
Yeah.
Do we have the technology is my point.
There's more technology in this house than in the SiriusXM studios downtown.
Okay.
Are you kidding?
Okay.
But don't break into my house and steal it.
I'm in for it. I'm up for
it. It would be fun. We could get a lot of different people on there. It'd be like Hollywood Squares, you know?
Okay, sure.
Anybody who might know what that show
was. I was going to say, there's a reference for a lot of people.
I know. I'm sure.
You want me to be
age.
Paul Lynn?
Please don't.
I'll be Paul Lynn in the middle square.
that was pretty good. That was good, Paul Lynn.
Was it good? Okay, there you go. Yeah. And there's so many people that have no idea what I'm doing.
For our younger listeners, go out there and check out Hollywood Squares on YouTube. It's really funny stuff.
Phyllis Diller. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, all those crazy old people. I know.
Ugh.
So, anyway.
All
Tim,
right.
Have a great day, buddy. Take care of yourself. Stay safe.
Yep.
Love to you and
yep.
your family and,
you too.
And all of
you
our friends
too.
Out there.
Thank you. Thanks to Harrison Frazier for joining us as well. And thank you to Brendan Sweeney and the French Lick Resort. Yeah, we'll be out there as soon as they open. We'll kind of do a big grand reopening for
the great people at French Lick. For Frank Bastard, I'm Tim Matthews. Everybody stay safe, keep your safe distance, and keep a positive attitude. We'll all get through this. I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time right here on Golf Talk America.